your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 16. And I'm going to read again at verses 19 down through verse 27. Listen to God's word, if you will. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one arose from the dead. Our subject today, the state of the wicked at death. Now, as we study the Word of God, we find out that only in God's Word there is a complete truth concerning what happens to a soul after an individual dies. We have been so saturated today by the doctrine of evolution and humanism that the average individual today thinks that when they die, they are dead like a dog and carried to the grave and nothing else happens to them. However, the Word of God is absolutely different. We find that when an individual dies, depending on their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, they will either go to one of two places. If they're a saved individual, they shall go to heaven. If they're not saved, they go to hell, and they begin to suffer the torment of the damned, and that torment will last for eternity. Now today, we're going to look at the state of the wicked at death. Last time we left off, and we pointed out to you that when a believer dies, they are carried by the angels into paradise, and Abraham's bosom was a Hebrew term for this paradise. Then, the believer also is conscious of the transition, and the believer is continually praising the Lord. Also, when an individual is converted, the reality of that conversion is flashed to heaven so that all heaven rejoice over the salvation of a saved person. Now, today, we're going to look at the state of the wicked at death. First of all, this portion of Scripture is not a parable. The Lord Jesus is lifting the curtain aside and letting us see what takes place when two individuals die. One of them was a saved person. The other one was an unsaved individual. We find in verse 19, you have the category of the unsaved. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Here you have the doctrine of the state of the wicked at death. Now the Scripture in Luke chapter 22 tells us that the rich man died and was buried. But we find that the Word of God explains to us what happens to an individual when that person dies without a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles now and turn back with me, if you will, to the book of Job. Job chapter 18. And we find in Job chapter 18, beginning at verse 11, here's the death of a man without Christ. Terrors shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet. And his strength shall be hunger-bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side. It shall devour the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors. It shall dwell in his tabernacle, because it is none of his. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above his branch shall be cut off. His remembrance shall perish from the earth. He shall have no name in the street. Now listen to these words. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. Now turn, if you will, to Job chapter 20. And in Job chapter 20, beginning with verse 5, we read again, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, and his head reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? He shall fly away as a dream, and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. Now what happens to an individual when that person dies without Christ? Well, we'll tell you. The demons are chased that individual out of the world. Now you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? All right, listen carefully if you will. Every individual without the Lord Jesus Christ belongs to the kingdom of Satan. And Satan and his agents rule over that individual. People today without the Lord Jesus are dominated by the course of this world, dominated by the spirit of disobedience which works in the hearts of every individual. And we find they are dominated by the prince of the power of the air, who is none other than Satan. Now, Satan has a claim upon every individual without Christ. You see, when Adam fell, he plunged the whole human race into sin. And when that took place, we find that Adam changed gods. He turned from the Lord God of heaven, and Satan became his god. And today, Satan is the god of this world. He's the sovereign over every individual without the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why it becomes so difficult for a person to be saved. Satan fights that individual at every turn. He tries to keep that individual from coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find very clearly, salvation then has to become a supernatural work of God. And that's exactly what it is. Now at death, the demons come after the individual without Christ. They chase that person out of the world into darkness. In Luke chapter 16 tells us, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now the first thing that happens with regard to the state of the wicked at death, it is this. They are chased out of the world into darkness. This is why the unsaved cry out in agony when they die without the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why many of them will turn and say, help, help, put the fire out, or else help, don't let them come after me. They know what's happening when they die, my friend. The demons come after that wicked person and chase that individual out of this world into darkness. This is what's going to happen to you someday if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may laugh and scoff and ridicule and mock and poke fun of all you want to, but my friend, the Word of God doesn't change. It still says, and it's still so, that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour, God classifies you as a wicked person, and we find that the wicked shall be chased out of the world into darkness. This is what's in store for every individual without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not only are they chased out of the world into darkness, because that's what hell is, we find also, then they become conscious of their condition. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 23, we read these words, and in Hades, or hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now the second thing that happens with regard to the state of the wicked is this. Not only are they chased out of the world into darkness, but we find also they are conscious of their condition. Now this does away with the abominable heresy of soul sleep, which so many today are trying to palm off upon unsaved individuals. My friend, when you leave this world, rest assured of one thing. You'll be conscious of where you go. You'll be conscious of being in hell, or you'll be conscious of being in heaven. This man here, he died and went to hell. And we find very clearly that the Word of God brings it out for our learning. Notice, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Here's the second reality. Not only will you be chased out of the world into darkness, but rest assured of one thing, my friend, you're going to be conscious of your condition. First of all, you'll be conscious of your torment. He said, "Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Now notice, we find very clearly that he is conscious of his condition. He's tormented in this flame. In other words, he knows what he's facing. He's continually burning, but he's never burned up. And we find this is what hell is all about. Secondly, we find also there will be the remembrance of the good things that were received. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 25, Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence." Now, what do you have here? We find not only is there torment, but there is also the consciousness of the remembrance of the good things received. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things. Now, hold your seat and listen. Many of you listening to me at this hour are receiving the good things of God. You have a good job, you have a good home, you have good health, you have good families, you have a good reputation, you have a good neighborhood, you have a lot of good things that God has given to you. You breathe good air and you wear good clothing and you eat extra good food. And we find those are good things that have been given to an individual from the Lord God of heaven, and that individual is not conscious of it. This is what that rich man received. Notice, in his lifetime, we find he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. Now, just like some people in Canada and America at this hour, they're faring sumptuously every day. And we find out that the worst people in poverty in America are better off than the vast majority across this world at this hour. We find that people are having good things, and it's the good things, and it's the goodness of God that ought to lead a sinner to repentance. But instead of doing that, the vast majority, they berate the Lord God of heaven. They mock him, they spit in his face, and they trample him underfoot, and they refuse to have anything to do with him. Well, rest assured of one thing, that's the way this rich man died. And we see very clearly he was conscious of his torment, and then we find very clearly he had the remembrance of the good things that he received. And then thirdly, we find also, this is another thing that stands out in verse 26, "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence." And we find here the third thing that stands out is this. It's the irrevocability of the situation. In other words, when once you die, you remain in whatever condition you die in. If you die as a saved person, you'll be saved for all eternity. If you die as an unsaved individual, you're going to perish for all eternity. There is no such thing as a second chance, which a lot of people are trying to say. Some say if you spend some time in torment and then your relatives pay you out, they'll bring you out of there. My friend, that's not so. God's word said, remember this, beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now, in the light of this, my friend, you ought to ask yourself this question. Where are you going to go when you die? You're going to either heaven or hell. Hell is real. Hell is positive. Hell is literal. Hell is eternal. And hell is a place of torment. And hell is fixed. And rest assured of one thing. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now, there's only one way for you to escape this dreadful torment which lies upon every individual without the Lord Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sin. You must repent of who you are, what you are, the judgment you're under. You must come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice again, this rich man also said, he cried out for Abraham to send messengers that his five brothers would not come there. But now notice, Abraham told him, he said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." Now here's an amazing reality. Listen to it. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has died. The Lord Jesus Christ has arisen. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive today, and yet people don't believe him. What about you at this hour? Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever received him as your Lord and your Savior? Oh, if you don't know what I'm talking about, my friend, rest assured of one thing. Then hell will be your inevitable doom. Hell will be your eternity, and you'll be like this rich man. You'll suffer the torments of the damned for all eternity, and the smoke and fire of your brimstone will last through countless ages of eternity. And rest assured of one thing, you'll burn and you'll cry and you'll pray, but nobody will listen to you. It'll be too late, because when once you die, this is what happens. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now in this closing moment, you ought to ask yourself this question. Suppose you die at this next moment. You could, you know. It's appointed unto man once to die. Your life is nothing but a vapor. And I urge you this hour, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you think of what we've been talking about. Hell is absolute. The demons are real, and they are waiting to come after every unsaved individual to chase that person into hell. But how wonderful it is that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, my friend, you ask the Lord to make you a lost sinner. And then when he does, you begin to cry unto him for mercy and to save you. And my Lord will. And my hope is it'll take place at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for joining us this week for this edition of The Mercies of God. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing in your life, and that you take Pastor Peter Nortier's very practical preaching to heart and put it to work in your life, in your home, in your workplace, and in your world. These messages may have been preached many years ago, but there is a generation that has not been blessed with these messages from Pastor Peter Nortier. If you've been blessed by this message and you would like to help share this message with others, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry as the Spirit of God leads? Please write us at The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan 49515. That address once again, The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan 49515. Your gifts of financial support to this ministry are greatly appreciated and will be invested in the kingdom of God. Until next week, please remember to pray daily, seek the face of the Father, and to always ask for the mercies of God.